The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kitzer Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Rafael Schneider.
We're starting Sifches, the eighth paragraph in Siman Kuf Yud 110. Before we begin, I'd like to just mention that although the halacha is that chametz is only formed once the dough waits 18 minutes without being worked over, there is an opinion that holds that one has to be careful not to let the process, even when working the dough, take 18 minutes. This is an opinion of one of the Rishayim of the Riaz, one of the medieval commentators. And therefore, we would most preferably like to fulfill this opinion as well. And we want to hurry the process along. Though we won't declare the dough to be chametz, we want to make sure it's done in the most hurried fashion. Start the kitzer, Yisharu shlolaniach asa'isa afil rega achas bli esek. You should be careful not to leave the dough, even for one moment, without esek, without somebody being busy with it. What's called being busy? Either kneading the dough, rolling out the dough, but just to squish it a little bit, hit it with a stick, that's not enough, because that's not working over the entire dough. However, lahalacha, the dough is not declared chametz unless it sits unmoved and untouched for 18 minutes. Now, there are some opinions that hold a sheer mil, the distance it takes, the time it takes to walk a distance of 2,000 amas, is not 18 minutes. Rather, it's 22 minutes according to the Chasam Sofer, 24 minutes according to some, and in a shas hadchak, in an emergency situation, one perhaps has room to be lenient, and one could ask a question to a Rav of whether this warrants finding room to be lenient because there are these other opinions that hold that a shir mil is a little bit longer. However, the general accepted psak, the generally accepted halacha is that 18 minutes already creates chametz. Even if you don't see it on the bread itself, even if you don't see it on the dough itself, we still are concerned that the dough had a chance to leaven. Now, there is a Ramah. There's a Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch, the small print in the Shulchan Aruch, who writes that there are those who are stringent and say that you add together all the time that the chametz was left untouched and unmoved, even though in between those times, a person kneaded the dough, worked the dough over. Now, if you had 18 of times 1 minute where you left the dough untouched, they would be added together to create a shir mil. Now, this is a discussion, there's a machlaikas amongst Rishayim who lived even earlier, people who lived even earlier than the Ramah. What exactly warrants this concern? What if a person left his dough for 5 minutes, but then he went and he worked it very well in between and left it for another 5 minutes, and then another five, and then another 3 minutes? But each time in between, he worked the dough very well. So the Truma Sadeshin says, each time you work the dough, it ruins whatever leavening took place, and then you have to start fresh again. However, the Maril writes, no. We don't ruin it. Each one of those 5 minute periods will be added together, eventually culminating in an 18 minute period, which we would be concerned has already created chametz. Though there are some who hold like the Trumas Hadeshen, and therefore if one really worked the dough, if one worked it lightly in between, so then amidst the Trumas Hadeshen, you would add all the time periods to form 18 minutes. But if you really worked the dough well, you really kneaded it and rolled it out very well, working the whole dough in a strong way, then you don't add together. And there are some, but many paiskim, many the size of law hold like the Maril, that you add them together, you add those snippets of time together to form a Shir Mil, and therefore La Halacha, the Hashulchan sounds like this. Dayan Weiss, one of the Paiskim and Yerushalayim, the last generation, hold like this, that we're going to pass like the Maril, and we're going to say that the dough is considered leavened, even though one worked it very well in between those time periods where they were left, the dough was left unattended. Continues the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch, Miyad Kishnig Meres Ha'isa, right away when the dough has been finished with the kneading process, Yichalka Kula L'Megalklam, every bit of it should be divided up amongst the rollers. Valkain, and therefore, Yesh Lashkiach, one should be very careful. One should be very attentive. Shloi Lase Isa Gedayla, not to make too large a piece of dough. Rakafi Erech HaMegalklam, only in accordance with what the Megalklam, the rollers, can handle. If you have five rollers who will take each a piece of the Isa, so take only the dough, need only the amount of dough that you're going to divide amongst the five rollers, but not more. And if there's left over from that dough in the hands of the one who's dividing it up amongst the rollers, Yolush v'yasigba, he should need it, and he should continue to be busy with it. Not leave even one moment without being busy. Because again, once you start working the dough, it's warmer. It's warmer from moving it, and it's warmer from the hands, and therefore even the 18 minutes is not something one can rely on automatically, because the dough already has started to warm, and therefore might be the leavening process might be hastened, where otherwise you would have the full 18 minutes to rely on. Here one could be concerned that perhaps the dough is warmer, and the chametz process took place at a more rapid rate. Let's continue. Siftes. Number 9. Hamagalgalim, the rollers, yagalgalu bezrizus. They should roll with zealousness. Va'al yishu lasayt zamatza kedemus ezetzura. And they shouldn't wait to make the matzah in the form, any kind of picture, any kind of formation. The Maria Sad and the Marshak. The Marshak is of Shlema Kluger. Both write that we make matzahs round. So that's kind of like a form. So are we in line with halacha? Or are we going against this halacha which says not to make it in any kind of form? And they write that one should make it in the form, in a round form, because it says in the Torah that one should make ugais matzis. Ugais, loosely translated, is cakes of matzis. But the Gemara in Tainis and Rashi over there interprets that ugais means rounded. So because of that, that is why it is customary to make particularly rounded matzahs rather than making other forms. The Stechemed writes that there are those that are makbid, there are those that are very meticulous, that when they make machine matzahs, they should not be round. And this is for a very practical reason. Because we're worried if one would make machine matzahs that are rounded, the corners might get cut off, and they might end up back in the oven again. And perhaps those corners will have had passed a shear mill in the whole process. A shear mill may have already passed. And therefore we want to make sure that the entire matzah, without cutting any away, is put into the oven. And therefore, those who make machine matzahs with a process that's automated, they're very careful to make sure that the matzahs are square rather than round, even though we mentioned from the Maria Sad and the Marshak that there's a special elevated status of having them be round because of ugois matzahs. Nonetheless, for the practical concern of not turning into chametz, says the Steichem, that it's better if you're making machine matzahs to make them square. Continues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. V'yashkichu, and they should be careful, shelo yeh perurim min ha'isa al adaf, that there should be no little crumbs, little pieces of the dough on the board when you're doing the rolling. V'gam shelo yeh madbak v'deihem shum isa, and that there shouldn't be any piece of the dough stuck to their hands. Umiyad kisharayin, and right away when they see that that has taken place, shenidbak mehen katsasi, so that it stuck to them a little bit of the dough, yerchatsu yudeim hetiv, they should wash their hands very well to make sure none of that dough gets put back in to the next batch of matzahs. Mishnah Berurah brings down that there's a custom to wash your hands within every 18 minutes, that nothing, even if nothing appears on the hand, still, if everybody knows they're washing their hands for 18 minutes, for sure no dough will get caught on the hand, and for sure we won't run into problems with regard to this. Yud, number 10, Sif Yud. Miyad l'achash nigma ha-matzah yinakvua b'zrizus. Right after the matzah is finished, you should make holes in it, b'zrizus. Hurry in a zealous way. V'lo yasa is a tziur. They shouldn't make any kind of form, any pictures on the matzah. In Tess, we discussed turning the matzah into any kind of special form. Here we're talking about when one puts the holes in the matzah in order to let the air out, one should not make these holes in any kind of special pattern. Ella yimaru b'chol matzah efshir, they should do it as hurry as they could. Umiyad Yitnua l'secha tanur, and right away put it inside the oven. That even if you make a picture, a form, not by hand, even if you make it with some sort of press, a pre-made picture form that you're going to press into the matzah, that'll take up no time at all. The Paiskim say, Shavur brings down that one should not do this, even if you're doing it in a professional setting by a baker who knows what he's doing. Even with our very thin matzahs, we do not allow any kind of form to be impressed into the matzah. We're worried that one person might do it now in a permissible way, and the next time will be done in an improper way. Those who are putting the holes in, or done with a special utensil, it should be done in the fastest way possible. It's Aruch HaShulchan. And this is also called being busy with the matzah. It's not as busy and it's not as strong a process as kneading the dough or as rolling the dough. But says Aruch HaShulchan, this is also called being busy with the matzahs. And this helps when eventually the matzah will be put inside the oven. These holes allow the air to escape and prevent the swelling of the matzah, which could be a problem, as we'll discuss later on. Continues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Bizor ma'oid. A person should be very careful. Shlo yasha oisa afilu mat nega piatanur. A person should not let the matzah, should not let the dough of the matzah wait and sit, even a little bit, opposite the mouth of the oven. Why? Kishom timar lahachmis, because there, with the heat of the oven, the whole leavening process will go much faster. And we don't have our 18 minutes anymore. And there's a strong chashash, a strong suspicion for turning the dough into chametz. The alkein, and therefore, tzvichin lahader, one has to be careful. And one has to go after and make sure. Shazehu meishir as a matzis la'ifa, the one who puts who sticks in the matzis into the one who bakes, the one who delivers it to the one who puts it into the oven. Ye bal toira of yari shemayim. He should be a bal toira. He should be somebody who's careful in toira. V'yari shemayim, And he should also be someone who fears Shemayim, who fears the heavens, Shiyadaktik Bazeh, that he'll be very careful with this. Because this is something that we can't always tell. An onlooker who's observing will not always be sensitive whether the matzah had a chance, the dough had a chance to wait in front of the oven. We want the person in charge, the one who's right there, the one who's on site, the worker, should have the fear of heaven in him. Because then, and only then, do we know for sure that the process has gone in the most hurried fashion. Continues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Yud Aleph, number 11. Sif Yud Aleph. Hayari Dvar Hashem Yizor. Somebody who fears the words of Hashem, Yizor, should be careful. Shekoydim Afiyas Matzis, before the baking of the matzis, Shaloi, his own matzis, Yasiku Heitav Echodesh Satanur. He should heat up, he should fire up the oven again, anew. And he should spread out the coals across the entire oven. He shouldn't rely that he came to a hot oven, that the coals are already there, and he'll just stick his matzah, he'll stick his dough in and form his matzahs. Who knows? In Zasha of a koydim loy. If the one who baked immediately prior to him, Hayin Nizar B'Cholad Zihirus, was careful in all there is to be careful about. So one should be take precaution that when he is going on his own to bake in an oven, to not rely that the person before him did things properly, he should take steps to make sure that the oven is good, the heat is the right temperature, and the coals, if you're baking in a coal oven, have been put in the proper way. Again, a person who's not in that, does not use that kind of oven, should make sure that everything inside the oven and the little pieces left over, that the oven is clean, and therefore it's ready for him to begin to bake his matzahs. Yud Veiz, number 12. Ha'ayfe, the baker, yizor ma'ayd la'ashkiyah, should be very careful to look after Shaloi tiskapel eza matzah. That no matzah should fold over on itself, should double over. The gam, also, shaloi tiga achas bechavrita. That no matzah in the oven should touch the other one. Ki v'mkayim hanegia, because in the place where the two matzahs meet, and so too in the place where the matzah doubles over, folds over on itself, eina nefes maher u'mischamotis. It doesn't bake well, and it becomes chamet. This is a stringency. It's a suspicion, because perhaps one could argue that maybe it does bake. But the Paiskim were worried that maybe in certain circumstances, when the matzahs meet each other, and in certain circumstances where the matzahs are doubled, fold over themselves, perhaps some inner part of the matzah does not become baked well. Though our matzahs are very, very thin, and it's a very, very unlikely scenario, we are still strict. Vim Eira, and if it occurred, Shniskapla, Ay, Shnisnapcha is a matzah. If it happened that one matzah doubled, or one matzah swelled, the snapcha blew up, formed a bubble, Tzrichim Lishbar es Hamokim Ahu, we have to crack that place where the doubling took place. The place that the matzah swelled, the hu chametz, and we consider that place to be chametz. The hashar muteres. However, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the rest of the matzah in that place is permitted. Many of the paiskim, Mishabur brings down, but many say that one should also break off a thumb's worth if you measure by the joint of the thumb, width-wise, one should make sure to crack off that much more of the matzah as well. You also take the whole matzah in the case of this kapla, but one, at least in the case of this kapla, or where the matzahs touch each other, one should make sure to break off that extra and throw it away as well. Consider that to have absorbed some part of the chametz of the fold or of the place that the two matzahs touch each other. Now we are lenient if after Pesach one had, let's say, an abundance of matzahs and one did not discover this folded matzah till after Pesach. The Chayk Yaakov writes in Shulchan Aruch, the Chayk Yaakov says that one could be lenient. And even though we don't permit chametz that one had in his possession after Pesach, this, where it's only a suspicion, one is allowed to be lenient. Continues the Kitzer. Aval, however, in Naga Zu Bazu, if they touched each other, Kishena Dayan Laches Betaner, when they're still soft, still a little bit wet, dough in the oven before they had a chance to bake, become harder. Yesh Lahatir Bidyevin. One could be lenient if this already occurred. One should be meticulous that it should not occur, but if it did occur, one is permitted to use these matzahs. Why? Because in the end, the matzahs completely were heated by the warmth of the oven. And the warmth of the oven had a chance to go underneath both matzahs, even though they're touching, but they're not on top of each other, and therefore one is allowed to be lenient. However, if they're on top of each other, it's not just touching, then it's the same halacha, it's the same law as a folded matzah, and it's aser. However, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, if the baker saw this and immediately separated the matzahs that were leaning on top of each other, one could be lenient. One could be mekel. Continues the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. Matzah nefucha, a matzah that swelled. Well, what is a matzah that swelled? A matzah that swelled, the place can bring down one of two examples. Either the upper part of the matzah separated itself from the lower part, and there's like a bubble in the matzah, or the entire thickness of the matzah swelled. Not that there's an opening there, but the entire, like a piece of bread rises. An entire piece within the matzah began to rise higher than the rest of the matzah, as if it was a piece of thick bread in the matzah. Those are cases of nefucha, where we're concerned about this, and we're concerned about its matzah, its chametz status. And because of this, though not everybody agrees, many of the Paiskim say, and the Mishnah brings this, that if on one piece of the matzah became nefucha, swollen in either one of these two fashions, not just the pieces aser, not just the kedei netila, the extra thumb's worth is aser, but the entire matzah is prohibited. That's a stringency that many have by a swollen piece of the matzah over a case of where it simply folded over on itself. Continues the Kitzer. Hainu shenikir sheneschalka matzah ba'ovya, that the matzah divided internally in the thickness, v'hacholol hu k'may reicha v'agudol. And how big a bubble is considered a bubble? As wide as a thumb. As I mentioned earlier, that you measure from each person has one joint on their thumb before it reaches the rest of the hand. And that's where you measure the width of a thumb. So that, when it's already become that wide, that's the shear, that's the amount that we're considered to be a concern for the bubble to have turned into chametz. Now, the Mishnah Berurah mentions that if there's only a hole in the middle of the matzah, but the matzah is not any bigger, it's not any thicker, it's not any higher, the part which has this empty cavity, did it rise, then we don't consider it to be an afucha that would prohibit the whole matzah, but you should break off that little piece, the Mishnah Berurah says. Now, only in a case where it bubbles, that's a concern that the process of neficha, the process of this air getting in and causing leavening, has begun. And therefore, that's the only time we're worried that it's really chametz. Now, what's a shear of an agaydel, a shear of a thumb? Others say that it's not just a thumb's worth, but it's also the same shear is a shear of the size of a hazelnut, whichever one is easier for a person to measure with. Now, the Stipler Gain of Rav Kanievsky, who lived in the last generation, one of the great personalities, great Talmid Chachamim in Klal Yisrael, he said that not only the width of the neficha, not only the width should be this hazelnut size, but the height also has to be a height of a hazelnut. You could actually stick the hazelnut inside this bubble, both in width and in height. That's when we're concerned, and that's when we prohibit the matzah that's considered a matzah nefucha, a matzah that has this bubble in it. It's brought down, the Shartzia, and Mishnah Berurah writes in the bottom of the sefer, that if the baker sees that it's beginning to bubble, he can go ahead and quickly take the baker's shovel, the peel, and bang on it. Bang on the bubble that it shouldn't go up. And that would be a way of preventing this concern of it forming chametz. There's an interesting halacha that if either a kvela, a matzah that was doubled, or a matzah that bubbled, became mixed up with other matzahs, let's say it was broken up. Sometimes you could buy matzahs that have already been broken, called matzah farfel, and it's mixed in with other matzahs, and now you can't separate this one from the others, or this piece from the others. So we're concerned that maybe the matzah that's usher is the matzah that I'm going to eat. So some hold that it prohibits its mixture, some say it doesn't. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you have 60 times the nefucha, 60 times the bubble matzah, or 60 times the part that was nischapla, that was folded over on itself, then for sure one could be lenient, especially since our matzahs in general are very thin and don't really have this concern of forming chametz in the place of the fold or the place of the bubble. And therefore, one could be lenient as long as there is shishim 60 times, even though there are those who prohibit a mixture. Continues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Yud Gimel, number 13. Tzrich lizayir, one has to be careful, shelo haisi matzah min hatanur kol zman shelo nefes katzas. A person should be careful and take the matzah out from the oven the whole time that it didn't bake even a little bit until ad shemhayu parser esa lo hayu kein chutin nimshachim. A person should make sure that if he would spread it, no strings would be drawn from one piece or to the other piece. Ki kaidim shir zeh harei adayin kama isa. Until that point, until you reach the point where there would be formed strings when one would pull from one to the other, as long as the matzahs are still freshly in the oven, and when you spread it, these little pieces are not drawn from one piece to the other. So it's still considered dough. And therefore, we're highly concerned about the dough due to this extreme heat becoming chametz. So one has to be very careful not to take it out. As we said, ki koydim shir zeh harei odayin kama'isa. Before this measurement, before this time has been reached, it's still considered dough. If you would pull it, and the little pieces, little strands, would not be drawn from one to the other, then it still has a status of dough. And while you pull it out of the oven, the leavening process will be extremely hurried. Now, what if a person pulled it out and put it right back in? So the Shartzia, in which the brewer brings the Chavetz Chaim in his Sefer Shartzia, writes that one could be lenient, but best not to use it for the Siddara. Best not to use it to fulfill his mitzvah of eating matzah. Continues the Kitzer, the Gam HaMaida, and also the baker's shovel. Shehoitziu Allah, that you took out this dough, this matzah that was forming on it, gamkin aser oid lematzis. One cannot use this baker's shovel again, this peel, for any further matzis, because we're concerned that perhaps the chometz got into this instrument. And if it's impossible to know whether these strands of matzah, of dough, would be drawn from one piece to the other, yesh lahachmir misafik. One has to be stringent in a case of doubt. However, there is one way of knowing that the baking has already begun, and that's if achim karmu faneha. But if it formed a crust on the outer face of the matzah, yesh lahaka. One could already assume that the baking process has already begun. Yudalid, number 14. Roy l'chol yari shemayim shiva'atma imi mashkiach basiyas fafiyas ha'matzah shalai. It's fitting for anybody who fears the heavens that he himself should go and stand and watch the making of the matzahs, the baking of the matzahs, of the ones that he would like to use. Ulaziram, and to warn those involved in the process. Shiyasub is rizus vashkocha. They should do it with a zealousness, with a hurriedness. And they should be very careful. They should look and make sure things are done properly. And this was a process. This was an extra careful meticulousness that was taken on by the Gedolei, the great people of Klal Yisrael, in earlier generations. Zichreinim levracha, may their memory be for a blessing. V'chein oisim gam bizmaneinu. And it's not just for the olden days, but this is a practice that's continued even today for people to make sure, to stand over, to make sure their matzahs, if they can, were done in the best possible fashion. Test vav. Hamatzahs, the matzah, shein latzahs b'heni dechayves achila, achilas matzah, b'shnei leiles harishainim. The matzahs that one would like to fulfill his obligation of eating the matzah on the first two nights. The first one is from the Torah, and the second one is from the Rabbanan, from the rabbis. Nikra'ais matzahs mitzvah. We call them matzahs a mitzvah because those are the matzahs that one is going to fulfill his mitzvah of eating matzah, as it says in the Torah, one should eat matzah on the night of Pesach. And we, because of earlier custom, we keep the first two nights, the second night also, and we go through the same process of eating the matzah as the rabbis told us to further this custom of what used to be in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah Berurah and many others bring down that Klal Yisrael, many people in Klal Yisrael, many Jews, they're holy. and they want to have mitzvah, they want to have matzahs that were shmura, that were guarded, even for the rest of Pesach, not just for the first two nights. Why? You only need matzahs mitzvah for the first night, or the first two nights. Why would they be careful to take shmura matzah for the rest of the nights? Because this guarding is not a guarding that it should be done for the sake of a mitzvah. It's a guarding that makes sure no chametz came in contact with it, that it didn't form chametz, and that it didn't absorb chametz. And this special guarding, many of the Paiskim hold, has to be done even with the rest of the matzahs as well. And therefore, many people are careful to only eat shmura matzah, guarded matzah, the rest of the days of Pesach as well. However, sometimes it's hard or too costly for a person to be careful all the days of Pesach. So, if one could find guarded matzah, shmura matzah, that was watched from the time of the grinding, or at the very least, from the time of the kneading, that would also fulfill this. So even if one can't find, or it's too difficult, too costly, to find matzah that was shomer, that was guarded from the time of harvesting, but at least, if one can, it's best to find matzah that was guarded at least from the time of the grinding, or from the time of the kneading. Continues the Kitzer. A person has to make them for the sake of the mitzvah through a Jew. Gadol, who's already become a bar or bas mitzvah, ben das. They have knowledge, their mind is operating properly. Shehu ben yud gimel shan of yom echad, v'isha bas yud be shan of yom echad. Either a male, 13 in a day, which the Pais can tell us means just over 13, doesn't have to be a full day, or just over 12 if it's a lady, if it's a girl. That's sufficient, as long as they have a clear, normal operating mind, they are permitted to be the ones who are involved with this mitzvah. Continues the Kitzer, U'b'chol asiyas yayimer ha'aisa l'shem matzitz mitzvah. All the different processes, all the different steps that are taken, one should say, for the sake of matzah's mitzvah, afilu b'shiva samayim. One should say, I'm doing this for the sake of mitzvah, matzahs that are for mitzvah. Even when it draws the water, as we mentioned, one should have that in mind, and one should say it with one's mouth. Now, if one does not say it, and one just thinks it, that is sufficient. There is a discussion. If one neither says it nor openly thinks it, but just going through the process, does that work? Do we say stumble l'shma without any clear thoughts? He probably was doing l'shem mitzvah. There is a discussion whether that's permissible or not. Some say it's even discussion amongst Rishonim, medieval commentators. And one should be careful, one should try to get matzahs that somebody, that the one who was undertaking it, was careful in this, that he said it, or at the very least, thought it openly. There is a famous discussion that came about in the last couple hundred years with the advent of something called machine matzahs. Initially, machine matzahs were undertaken in the 1800s, and there was a machlekes, a disagreement amongst the Gedolei Yisrael whether this is permissible or not. Some, like the Marshak, said it is not, like Shlomo Kluger said it is not, and others were lenient. Among them, the Ksav Sofer and others. This was a question, not because of any electrical device, because they didn't have electricity then, just they were using certain machines to help the process along. So the whole thing wasn't done by hand. Certain parts became automated through using the use of wheels and gears, that now the process was somewhat taken out of the hands of people, and many, many of the Paiskim, many, many said that it's permissible as long as you're careful to clean it out very well. Then when electricity was created, and this machine matzahs now had another problem, just pushing a button, you're not actually making the wheel wind, but rather, just the button alone is causing the automation of the whole entire process. Again, this issue arose, and the Marsham, amongst others, said that just pushing the button is considered done by a person. It says that the matzahs are shmartem. You should take precaution to make the matzahs l'shem mitzvah. You should be careful, on guard. And that's called you being uncareful. There are sameach, as well as Reb Chaim Isaac Grzinski in the generation before the Second World War, both were lenient. They said one could use matzahs that were done with an oven, and not just with the process of the oven, not just the baking process, but also the kneading process and the whole entire preamble to the baking also can be done with machinery. There are others who disagreed, and therefore many are careful to keep the minig, keep the custom of their forefathers, and eat a completely hand matzahs. But most paiskim, most of those who decide law, have already paskin that machine matzahs are permissible, though we try to keep the customs of our forefathers and eat only those matzahs which are hand-baked, at least by the night of the Seder. The Kitzer ends, in parentheses, Kol dinim shekasavnu b'in yafiras ha-matzah, all the laws that we wrote concerning baking matzahs, zehu min hagenu, that's according to our custom, she'ofen hakol lifnei ha-pesach, that they bake everything before Pesach. Avol mokem adchak, in a case where there's a lot of pressure and a difficult situation, she'ofen gam b'pesach, that they bake even on Pesach itself, yesh b'zeh oid chumis yisayris al mashek asavnu. There are other stringencies over and above what we wrote about. V'chein ha-noigim lefeis matzahs mitzvah of Pesach l'achar chatzais. And those who are accustomed to bake matzahs of mitzvah on Erev Pesach after chatzais, after midday, which some do have such a custom, hayoyim, today, tzrichin yizhiras yisera, needs extra carefulness, it needs an extra stringencies, because already chametz is usur, and the time for benefiting from chametz has already elapsed, and we're much more concerned with the whole process if it's done on Erev Pesach, and therefore one has to be more strict than the laws we've even discussed with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And that's the end of Kuf Yud.